Chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that here I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Lord, we bow before thee. We ask that you bless this time as we open thy precious word. We pray that you administer grace to each and every hearer. Pray if someone here is in trouble, they might find peace. If someone here has a need, they might find it in the Good Shepherd. Pray, Lord, if there's someone here who feels the weight of guilt, of sin, that they might find a Savior. I pray that the Lord Jesus might be lifted up and magnified, we might bow before him as we bow before thy sovereign word, that we might seek to do thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So good to see you. I can hardly see you. I had a glaucoma, and they put a stem in one eye, and they canceled the surgery reasons, rescheduled a second eye, and they took cataracts out of one eye, but the eye did not come back. And so I'm working on one eye here, and it's got issues as well, but I've had 78 years of seeing. And we'll see what happens after that. If you'd have asked me years and years ago when I was a child if I believed, Jesus said, do you believe in God? Believe also in me. I don't like to ask people, do you believe in God? I don't think Jordan Peterson is a Christian. He's a seeker. I like the way he says it. But if somebody says, do you believe in God? Number one, I don't know what they mean by God. A lot of strange ideas about that. And I don't know what they mean by believe. Because when I was a child, if you'd have asked me, do you believe? I'd say, I believe. In church, sang in the children's choir, rang the bell on Sunday morning in Brooklyn, New York. It's an acolyte. An altar boy in the Lutheran church, walked down a long aisle carrying a lighted taper, lit the candles every Sunday morning for the morning worship service. I'd sit in an antechamber and wait for the talk to be over, long time. And it was over, I would extinguish the candles and everybody would get up. They wouldn't leave until I put the candles out. Candles out and they go home. So if you'd ask me if I believe as a child, I'd say I believe. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning about what it means to believe. Because there just might be someone here that was like me in the church every Sunday morning and yet not yet in the kingdom of God. Is that possible? Yes, it is. It was not until I was 21 years old that I took a second look at Jesus. See, I knew him as a figure on a flannel graph or in coloring books. We celebrated his birthday by giving each other presents. I never figured that out. And then Easter came around and it was pretty gloomy, except for the chocolate bunnies and the Easter eggs. And then when I was 21 years old, circumstances and providence brought me not only to myself, but faith in Christ, and I was born again. But I had to take a second look at Jesus. I carefully considered his claims, his character, his conduct. I pondered the paradox of the cross and responded to the power of his call. He said he was the way, and I believed him. For the sinner, he's the way out. For the seeker, he's the way in. For the fallen, he's the way up. For those going astray, he's the way back. And for those who are lost, he's the way home. He is the highway, the freeway, the new way, the through way, the narrow way, and the only way. Isaiah said, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways." Most people are not thinking high enough. Just like Abraham, one day heard God say, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be." Abraham's life was changed as he realized that life was far more than what he knew. As he lived in the world and kingdom of darkness, God called him out of heathenism into the kingdom of light. Jesus is the highway. He's also the through way. And somebody here is going through something right now and they don't know what to do. Somebody's going through something right now and they don't know what's going to happen. Somebody's going through something right now and they want an answer. And I'm glad to say that Jesus is the through way. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall flame kindle upon thee." And some people sitting here this morning know exactly what that means. He got you through. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be with thee." Some of us have gone as far as we could with some people. We had to say goodbye, knowing that because they believe in Jesus, that they merely went through the valley into his presence. Jesus is the highway, he's the through way, he's the new way. The Bible says the new and living way. He's the narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. You don't need to do that. He's the through way, and he is the only way. He also said that he is the truth, and you can trust the truth. As truth, I found his words to be untarnished as well as unvarnished. Truth is untainted, untangled, and without shadow of turning. But truth is the straight edge, the plumb line, the fulcrum, the tip of the spear. Truth is what is, and Jesus is the great I am. He also said, "I am the life," and promises all who put their faith in him new, abundant, and eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Look at it, verse 6. I am. That's conclusive. The way, the truth, and the life. That's inclusive. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exclusive. I am, that's conclusive. Bible faith, saving faith, is conclusive. You don't have to wait for more tests to come back in the lab. You don't have to get a second opinion. You don't have to do research or Googling. Jesus didn't say, I may be, I'd like to be, I might be. Something else when somebody actually stands up and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Either he is or he's a liar. And you have to make a decision. What Jesus taught, what Jesus spoke, was conclusive. Because he is God incarnate, the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. And I came to a place in my life, and perhaps you came to that very same place through trouble and trials. And you came to the same conclusion that he is who he claims he is, and you said, I can trust him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he's the truth, you can trust him because you can trust the truth. If he's the way, you can follow him. And if he's alive, you can live for him. This memory of my father brings me back to Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I believe it was 1949. Just 3 years old, barely 4 years old. And I remember the scene. I'm walking down the street, holding my father's hand. Why that's impressed on me, I don't know. It's imprinted in my memory. That's my earliest memory of my father. We were never close. He was not a self-touchy, lovey sort of person. He was a tough guy. But to hold his hand, I remember what it felt like. I remember it was calloused and hard. What I would think is like the steel of the hand of maybe Superman. And I believe that he was, for me, Superman. And maybe as you think back, when you were 3 years old, 4 years old, holding your father's hand, the same was the case. Trolley cars, buses, commercial trucks, horse and wagons, thousands and thousands of people, a cacophony of sounds and chaos in the center of Brooklyn, New York, rushing to catch a bus, holding my father's hand. In the midst of all of that confusion, I never felt safer or more secure than I did that day. Because I was holding my father's hand. I thought about that after I came to faith, what I call faith. And I found it in the Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Is the big hand that reaches down from heaven. Faith is the little hand that reaches up and grasps it. Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. And it's a relationship I still have with God today. Every relationship is based on trust. You don't buy a mobile from somebody you don't trust. You don't sign the contract if you don't trust who's sitting on the other side of that table. You don't say, I do. And give your life and your heart to somebody unless you trust them. Every single relationship is based on trust. trust my Father, and you can trust the Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he made a way for us to be with him forever. And his hand of grace reaches down today, even still, and he calls us to take it. And we take it, number one, in trust. Because to believe means to trust in, adhere to, and rely on. People have strange ideas about what belief means. Some believe in Santa Claus and there are presents under the Christmas tree to prove it. And they tell their children to believe in Santa Claus and put the carrot on the table next to the dish full of cookies, which somehow disappear by the time day breaks. And then they find out that they've been had. And the very same people that told them about Santa, he knows if you're naughty, and he knows if you're nice, the very same people tell you about Jesus, and you kind of wonder. And such was I. And I put him away with my other childish things when I grew up. Put him away with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and Tooth Fairy. Oh, you know the Tooth Fairy? The one that put the quarter under your pillow? Now, to believe means to trust in. It's a relationship. Second, it means to adhere to. Jesus put it this way. He said, follow me. You take the stamp and you put it on the envelope, and wherever this envelope goes, the stamp goes, it adheres to. Bible faith means to adhere to. So much so when God came into the world, he's called Emmanuel, God with us, so that we could be with him. And he calls us to follow him. If you're not following him, you're not believing in him. And so to believe means to trust in, to adhere to, which means to agree with, to understand and agree with, and to follow. Follow me? Yeah. And so we agree with what Jesus said, sinner. We agree that he is a savior. We agree that he is the only hope of the world. And we agree with that. We see what he says and see what he does. And so we trust him, we adhere to him. But then here's the last part. Oh, when I reached up and took my Father's hand, I adhere to. We're connected. I'm holding his hand and we have a symphony of hand holding going on that nobody else knows. Sometimes I'm holding tight. And sometimes I let go of my grasp, but he's still holding me. Sometimes he lets go a little bit, but I'm holding him. Nobody else knows that. But there's a relationship going on here. And should I hit my foot on the crack in the sidewalk and fall, I've been known to do that, my Father would lift me up, get me settled correctly, and let me go down the sidewalk again. Trust in, adhere to, but then the third thing is to rely on. I wasn't exactly sure exactly what was going to happen next. We were heading to catch a bus. But I was relying on him. He knew what would be involved. Paying the fee, whatever was the fee, getting up in the right place, getting off on the right stop. I'm relying on him. And that's what faith in Jesus is. We trust him, we adhere to, we follow him, but more importantly, we can't do it ourselves. It's impossible. Therefore, real faith is relying on him and what he did on Calvary. I hope everyone here this morning would be able to look back at a moment of time when they said, no, not Santa Claus, no, not the Tooth Fairy, no, not the government, but Jesus. I put my faith in him because I can trust him, because he is the truth. I can follow him because he is the way. And I can live for him because he is the life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for so great salvation. Thank you that you still so love the world. We have friends, we have neighbors who are trusting in pipe dreams, trusting in themselves. I pray that they would hear about the love of all loves that took place on Calvary, and the one who always does what he promises, and rose on the third day, and promised that he'd come back for us, perhaps today. I pray that each and every one here would make sure that they have trusted him and him alone as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.